Now, friends, Paul is making it very clear here when he speaks of sleeping, he's referring to the body, never to the soul or the spirit of man, because the spirit of man does not die. And we shall note that now as we move through this particular section here. I'd like for us to note the reasons that the death of body is spoken of as a sleep. And the first reason I would suggest is the similarity of sleep to death. A dead body and a sleeping body are actually very similar. I'm sure that you've been at a funeral where you've heard somebody make this remark. Well, so-and-so looks as if they were asleep. Well, that actually is true. The body is asleep of a believer. And a sleeper does not cease to exist. And the inference is that the dead does not cease to exist just because the body is asleep. Sleep is temporary. Death is also. Sleep has its waking. Death has its resurrection. Life is not just existence, and death is not non-existence, you see. Now, we need to note something else here. Second reason is the derivation of the word for sleep. The Greek word goes back to a root word, kemai, and kemai means to lie down. So again, may I say, that word could never refer to the spirit, because what position does the spirit get in if it lies down? And the very interesting thing is that the word resurrection is a word that refers only to the body. The word is anastasis, and it comes from two Greek words, histomi, to stand, and ana, a preposition, means to stand up. Now, it's only the body that can stand up in resurrection. This idea that the Bible means a spiritual resurrection, there's no such thing as that. The spirit does not die, are the soul, and the soul and the spirit, they are not raised because they don't die. And we are going to see that only the body can lie down in death, and only the body can stand up in resurrection. That is quite obvious. Paul could say that absent from the body was present with the Lord. And again, we have used in Scripture this idea of the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Even the Old Testament taught that. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." That's our body, it's dust. God says to man, "Dust thou art, to dust shalt thou return." What's he talking about, the soul or the spirit? No, it's the body that was taken from the dust, and then God breathed into him the breath of life or the spirit, you see. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." Now that's Ecclesiastes 12:7. So that we're talking now about the body, and only the body. There's another great passage, and I think it would be worthwhile for us to turn back to it today. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let me turn there for just a moment, that we might corroborate this, that we're talking about the body. Now, Paul says here, and I'm turning to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, the word for tabernacle here is skene. It means tent. And these bodies that you and I live in today are tents. Now, I do not care what kind of a home you live in. You may have a home that costs $250,000. But I have news for you. You live in a little tent, this body. That's really where you live. And there's no such thing as some people living in a slum area and some other. God put us all in a tent down here. And I'm told that if you take this body of ours, break it down into the different chemicals that is there that you could sell us today even with inflated prices, for something under $4. Now, your house may have cost you $250,000, but my friend, you're living in a little $4 house, sort of a two-by-four thing called a tent. And it can blow down any minute. And if you don't believe it, you step out in the street and step in front of a car. And I'll say this, you're just about to fold your tent and silently slip away. That's what's going to happen to you. These are very frail bodies that we live in down here. Now Paul says this in verse 2. He says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desired to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Now Paul says we groan within these bodies. And again in verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." We groan within these tents. Now, have you discovered that, my friend? I told an old man that I met him at a bus corner. Well, this is quite a few years ago. Gray hair, tottering step. He must have been mighty close to 80. He was swearing like a sailor. And I told him, I said, "Brother," I said, "you won't be here very long. You're going to have to answer to God." He says, "How do you know I won't be here very long?" I says, "Well, hasn't God already told you you won't be here long? He's put gray in your hair, totter in your step, a stoop in your shoulder, and I have a notion that you have short breath, too, by the way. And all he's trying to tell you is you're just not going to be around much longer. You're living in this little tent down here, and you're going to be slipping away. And my friend, you better make that decision now. God's trying to tell you something, and you're not listening to him." Years ago, President John Adams was taking a walk. And he met a friend. A friend said to him, says, "How are you today, President Adams?" "Well," he says, "I'm fine. But this house that I'm living in, it's coming apart. It's falling down." Well, that's the kind of a house that we live in. We groan, Paul says. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." I know that when I moved in the place where I am now, I just had become pastor in downtown Los Angeles, and I really was a young man then. And I could bound up and down the steps up to my study and bedroom. But now today, it's different. When I come down the steps, I come down one at a time, and there's no more bounding. These knees of mine, I find out they hurt, and I groan. And my wife says, "You ought not to groan." And I tell her it's scriptural to groan. I said, "Paul says we groan within these bodies, and I want to do my share of groaning." I believe in it, by the way. So that here, Paul talks about these bodies of ours. These are the bodies that are going to be put in the grave. They're put to sleep of a believer, and I can't think of anything lovelier than that. And the spirit goes to be with Christ, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now here in 2 Corinthians 5, and I drop down again, he says this, verse 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now, as long as we are here at home in this body, this is my home I live in down here, you haven't seen me. Many of you haven't seen me at all, but there are many of you that I meet from time to time as I go across the country, and they say, "Well, I came to service just to see how you look." Well, I always feel like saying, "Well, you really haven't seen me. What you see is a head and two hands sticking out of a suit of clothes. You don't see me. I live within this body. You see the house I live in. It's not in such good repair, but that's what I live in. I'm on the inside. We walk by faith and not by sight. As long as we're down here, that's the way we're walking." But listen to Paul now. Verse 8, "We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." And I tell the folk in my family, "When you come by and see me someday in the casket," now that doesn't sound very bright, does it? You have to face the facts a lot. I said, "Don't say he looks natural, because I won't. I won't even be there. My house down here will be there, and it's put to sleep. And I'm going to go and be with the Lord." And at the resurrection now, and Paul's going to talk about that, the body's raised up. Many years ago, there was a meeting of the theologians and the leaders of the churches. That was back in the 20s, I guess it was, when the old modernism and fundamentalism argument was on. And they made one last effort, apparently, to try to get together. And so one of the liberals there, a Greek scholar, read a paper on the spiritual body. And he took the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body, and he put the great emphasis on the spiritual. And he just came down on that. He says, now, brethren, you can see the resurrection is spiritual, because it says it's a spiritual body. Well, the liberals applauded him. And in fact, they wanted to vote that the manuscript would be printed and given a wide circulation. And so there was there a conservative Greek scholar, and he was the one who was tops for years in this country. And so he said, I have a question to ask Dr. So-and-so. And it became a death-like silence in that place because everyone knew this man could ask some rather cogent questions. And so this man who'd read the paper reluctantly stood up and he said, all right, he'd attempt to answer it. Well, he says, it's a very simple question. You can answer it. He says, which is stronger, a noun or an adjective? And he could see the way this man was going. He said, well, of course, a noun is stronger than an adjective. And this man says, well, I'm really surprised and disappointed that you, an outstanding Greek scholar, have put the emphasis on the adjective and not the noun. You've given the wrong interpretation that Paul intended. Paul says it's sown a natural body. Body is the noun. Natural is the adjective. And it is raised a spiritual body. And he says the only thing that was carried over in resurrection was the body. That's what was changed. But it was still a body. But it's now a spiritual body. And the emphasis is on body, not spiritual. And, you know, they never did print that manuscript that man read. It was ridiculous when you really begin to look at it. Because it's the body that is raised up. And it's the bodies that sleep in the dust of the earth. And Daniel used that expression, Daniel 12:2, that sleep in the dust of the earth. And Daniel knew about Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote, and Solomon had said, the body will return to the dust. Dust will go back to dust, the body. But the spirit goes to God that sent it. Now, the early Christians, they had adopted a very wonderful word. They used the word koimaterion. That was the word they used for cemetery. And we get our word cemetery from that word. And you know what it was? It was a rest house for strangers. We call them inns. In that day, the inn was at Bethlehem. Every place had an inn, a rest house for strangers. You could spend the night there. And the early Christians called the cemetery. That was just a rest house. And a motel is where you sleep. And today we call them motels. We call them the Hilton Hotel or the Ramada Inn, the Holiday Inn, or the Howard Johnson Inn or the Royal Inn. These are places where you go and spend the night. And you get up the next day and you're going to leave. And the very wonderful thing is that that is the picture of a place where you bury your loved one. You don't weep when you have a friend goes up and spends a weekend in a Hilton hotel, do you? You rejoice with them. Well, the believer, the body has been put in a motel just for the duration. And one day he's coming and that body is going to be raised up, as Paul says.